You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, Josh.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm so good. I miss you, buddy.
Oh, I forgot to turn on my ring light.
You silly man.
There we go. Now my shiny face can be even shinier.
God, I miss you. How are you?
Good. I've got a headache today. I'm not going to lie. I took some Advil before we started this.
Okay. Well, I'm really proud of you. For those of you at home, I hope you checked out his Broadway Besties show because Alana Levine and Kristen Chenoweth were on. And that was really cool. As you take a sip of your water.
As I did. Yes. It was very good. I heard the story. Did you hear the story that Kristen was saying about how Wicked was not all about the witches when they first started workshopping it?
Yeah. It was amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, just the side of napkin summary is that she came in to do a reading and it was all about Elphaba. And then there was the side character that was like off in the wings most of the show.
Yeah, and she was like, do you want me to be in the show?
Called Glinda. Yeah. And then during the reading, they're like,
do you want me to be in the show?
Yeah. You sure?
The prom is all about Sheldon, and then in the out of town, Brooks and Caitlin were like, "It has to be about me," and I was like, "Okay, fine." oh my God, I miss you. First of all, I just want to say thank you to like all the essential workers and to all of you, but also to like my essential workers, Elizabeth, Alan, Dory, everybody at the Broadway Podcast Network. I love you guys.
I would love you too, man. Like, this is a weird time. This is weird.
And it is.
I'm really happy that BPN is like we've become this like online family, you know?
I know, but it's what people don't know about producers is that it's not just like, you know, oh yeah, we're going to do this with like a cigar. Like, they're out there with a battle axe and a shovel and an army of themselves or others and digging trenches and making shit happen. So I can come on at 9 p.m. on Wednesdays and Saturdays, unless we need a break, and do this. So, I don't know. I love you. I'm just glad that you're in my life.
Me too. Thank you. I am glad. Yeah. I'm glad that you were in my life.
Virtual kisses. And thank you all for supporting the show. As you know, all of this shit is free. And you do not have to feel obligated to do this. If you would like to support Josh Swallows Broadway, we will have a season 2. This is more like season 1.5, 1.5. This is the Josh Swallows Broadway live streams to get us through all this insanity. And that's just going to help the show keep going. No matter what, we are going to be giving you content for free. I don't care if it kills us all. But in the meantime...
says the guy who just explained how producers dig all the trenches.
I know. It'll kill us all. No, but we have some new Patreons. And like I normally do, I will improvise a song for them. Okay, so oh, thank you, Shannon Davenport. You got a big fancy name. Are you related to Ken? Who knows? But you're over here and I appreciate you so. Then there's Sam. And I really love you, man. You're a big time producer on Be More Chill and lots of other fun things. Yes, you're a swell. And David Mooney Todd, almost just like Sweeney Todd. I've known you for oh so long, but you're married, so I'm not going to show you these. And then there is Sarah Albergaria, the prettiest name in the world, next to Natala, my Natala, my baby, baby Natala. You help the show keep going. You help the show keep growing. And finally, Meg, fan slayer, she's a fan, and a slayer, and I love you, Patreon. Thank you so much for supporting the show. You too can. We added a $5 option just to make it a little bit more, I don't know, inclusive. Just to make it a little bit more exclusive. Just
did you
like,
just give your $5 claw?
This is the $5. Can we rename the tier the $5 claw?
Yes.
Tomorrow morning, we're renaming it $5 claw.
$5 claw.
But no, it really does help support keep us going. And that's patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. In the meantime, tonight is going to be really special. First of all, I've been, we'll get to what I've been doing with these two kids, but Kevin Sack and Philip Tarantula are two very close friends of mine, and they are co-writers of mine. And there's this woman named Pam Goldberg, who really is Broadway royalty. She was a Tony nominee. She won an Obie Award, and she's been a proud Equity member since 1964. And you will get to meet her very soon. In the meantime, let's get on and swallow some bitches. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Bye.
Gulp, gulp. Bye, I love you.
Hi.
Kevin.
Oh, Joshy. Oh,
thank you so much.
I love you. I miss you. How are you?
I'm fine, but you know how fucking needy I am and how
you
like,
love your hugs.
When I'm with you, I'm like, that's right, but let me cuddle you. And
I actually
and
have
maybe
a Josh Bjorn where I carry you on the front of my body and I just hold your Starbucks in front of you.
I feel like you never needed a gravity blanket because you were like, I have Josh.
Well, I've got Josh. If I ever have anxiety, I just lay underneath him.
You know what's funny is that like the first time that we met, it was the first day of the workshop of the Off-Broadway musical Clinton, which you were a fucking huge star in and got nominated for awards in and won awards for.
No, I didn't win any awards.
Didn't you win like an award?
No, I was nominated for a Lortel, a Lucille Lortel.
Lortel.
Well, I mean, we met in the show Off-Broadway did not run very long. It ran like 2 months, if that. And so when I got nominated, it was the following year. And I thought it was a mistake when I got nominated because we closed so quickly, but I guess some people had seen it. And then in like the next year, which was 2016, I got a text from like an old school friend being like, congratulations. And I go, please don't text me. But
you not to contact me.
please don't. But yes, yeah, so you and I met at the workshop in 2014. And I remember the first day we sat next to each other because you were playing Newt Gingrich, which mm-hmm. our friend John Tracy Egan later played.
Our genius fucking
genius
friend.
Who has also done variations of our show that we
yeah.
that we birthed in that workshop. So
yeah.
thank you, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We sat next to each other because we were kind of playing the villains together. And I remember
Who did you play?
I played Ken Starr, special prosecutor, who seems to come up every time there's an impeachment in this country.
And you were like this, like, I don't know, sexy vampire meets like S&M god.
Yes.
You were so fucking funny.
Oh, thank you. So were you. You were hysterical.
Well, thanks. But what I remember is when you walked into the room, at first I didn't know if I knew you, but I waved and I was like, hi, like, this is my friend.
This is mine.
Yeah. And then I was like, this is mine now. This is like, you were my Cabbage Patch doll.
I kind of was.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like carved an age on your neck.
Oh, God.
He's this many.
But I remember we both had recognized each other, but had never actually met, as far as we know. But we sat next to each other for that. I think it was a 2-week staged reading.
With Judy Gold, our baby Judy Gold.
Our Goldzilla.
Spilling coffee and breaking cell phones every day.
Oh, there was John Tracy during the rehearsals of Clinton yelled at her from across the room. He said, shouldn't you be off destroying Tokyo? her only comebacks were just, fuck you, John Tracy. Yeah. But Dan Kaneckis is really who brought us together.
Yeah. God, he's a genius.
He is. Now he's down in Houston.
I know, keeping one of my favorite theaters afloat, Tuts, down in Houston, Texas.
Yes, I was supposed to just go do a brand new musical there called Pure Country.
Yeah.
And it sadly has been canceled, obviously, like everything else.
Now, you flew there and then had to fly right back, right?
I was lucky. I did not have to.
Thank God. Yeah. My, do you know Matt DeAngelis?
Yeah, I did Waitress with Matt.
Right. Yeah. We did hair together for many years. And he was like, hey, fly into Houston. And I was like, why, you should call them and say, I'll fly tomorrow. Because as soon as he got there, he's like, flying home to New York.
You know, get those miles.
Get the miles. But Dan is also one of my favorite directors, choreographers.
Oh, yeah.
And I've
been a Kaneckis girl since 2014. Yeah.
That's where the joke started. I brought it into the Casey Nikolaw family and been like, we're Nikolaw girls now. But whenever I hear people repeat it, I'm like, don't you fucking dare. That's a Zach Lehman joke. We're Kaneckis girls.
We're Kaneckis girls, and we always will be.
We always will be, don't you see?
Yes.
Let's Strata Jones for life.
That's right. Xanadu, Xanawill.
Xanawill, thank you very much.
I have a lot. Yes, I have.
The amazing thing, though, was that this was our rapport from the minute that we sat down.
Sat down, and then we were just laughing our way through that workshop. Do you remember that we were actually, one of the Bill Clintons, because there were two in the show, was supposed to be Daryl Hammond up until the first day. Do you remember that?
And then I do.
He didn't show up, and the next day they brought in Duke LaFoon, who was amazing.
Yeah. Genius.
Genius. And he was on Mindhunter, too, if you watch that TV show. And he was great on that.
Wow, I love him.
I love him so much. I love his name.
Yeah, I was about to say, his name's Duke.
Duke LaFoon.
You know, I have a friend named Trip. And I was like, how did they come up with Trip? And he's like, well, it was between Trip and Boomer, because my dad wanted me to play football and be able to be like, go Boomer! And that's how I named my original prom character.
Was Boomer?
Was Boomer. And in the film, because Boomer was the hockey coach at the school and he had a son, Boomer Jr., Nick Boomer.
Uh-huh.
In the film, Nick Boomer is a character.
Oh my God. You're changing lives.
I want residuals!
Netflix!
Ryan Murphy is like,
you're not Jessica Lange.
You're not Jessica Lange, dear.
Not since the surgery, no.
Not since the COVID.
No, not since the COVID 19 times.
But then being the brilliant man that you are, always making me laugh, made some comment about, like, we agreed about how much we love Murder, She Wrote. Like, that was our Sunday nights growing up. Mm-hmm. And our obsession with Angela Lansbury and Sweeney Todd and everything that she's ever done. And
I had thought of a name of a show, but like with no substance to it. And I said, I had thought of this show that I really want to make something out of, but I only have the title. And the title was Bloody, Bloody Angela Lansbury. And so I wanted to, and you literally cackled just like that, those three octaves. And then you said, can I write this with you? And I said, would you please? And then we kind of had to put it on the burner because you went and did Finding Neverland. I went and did Clinton. And then we came back together after those shows collapsed on themselves.
Oh, no. Clinton. Oh, no. From there? Like, I remember this vividly because Clinton was happening, but I took a leave of absence to go do the Sondheim show, the road show.
Oh, that's right, at the Signature Theater.
Yeah.
Know. Yes.
And, but I got in touch with Jen Tepper because she was like, do you have any material? And I don't do cabarets because they give me panic attacks.
I agree about that. I don't like doing cabarets.
I don't even do concerts. I'm like, what are you raising money for? Here's $20. Yeah. Like, it gives me panic attacks. I can't do them.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, my friend and I are writing an original musical that is a parody of Murder, She Wrote, called Bloody, Bloody Angela Lansbury. How would you feel if we performed that there? Maybe it's a weekly show. And maybe we'll like have celebrity guests every week. Maybe we'll do this. And she was like, absolutely, and gave us a date.
Yes. And we had nothing at that point.
And we literally had 3 months to write a show.
Yes. And we did.
And we fucking nailed it.
We did. We brought on Dan Kanekis to help us, and we brought on Keith Varney and Philip Tarantula. And we made an hour-long version, and our cast was through the roof. We had Gideon Glick, Sarah Stiles, Chip Zion,
but also you were our first Angela Lansbury or Jessica Fletcher.
Yeah. John Tracy Egan, like, it was you.
It was unbelievable. And the fact that like it sold out immediately without like our friends couldn't really get in.
Oh yeah, no, there was that full table full of Lansbury superfans. And they took photos with us afterwards, and they had Lansbury, Jessica Fletcher earrings and scarves.
Yeah, the whole thing. And I remember being like our main lyricist, he wrote the music, composer, he's brilliant, Keith Varney, he's incredible. He approached me years ago with a musical that he wrote called I Got Fired, but I wasn't available because I was going on tour. But I remember hearing his songs and being like, this dude writes fucking hooks.
Hooks.
Hooks, baby, hooks. And I was over at his house and I was like, okay, so the opening song should be like, you know, that's what happens in Cabot Cove. That's what happens in Cabot Cove. It should be something like very
bouncy
Sesame Street. Yeah. Alan, from our very first 54 Below, do you have that clip of the beginning of Cabot Cove?
It's a tiny little town up on the coastline, full of lovely little cottages and sunshine. Catch a perfect little sunset with hot chocolate or wine. Just a cobbler and a grocer and a stoplight. If there's no room at the inn, we have a campsite. And if you're caught out after dark, no sweat, we're all wine. That's what happens in Cabot Cove. That's what happens in Cabot Cove. We get the mail, we go to school, we do our work, we clean the pool, we're happy. Then someone dies.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There it is.
Oh, my God. Now, Alan, is it okay that we couldn't hear it? Could the audience hear it?
I could hear it.
I could hear it fine.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I hate this world. Well, I'm glad that you guys could enjoy it.
Well, it was a sing-along version, which is great.
It's stuck in my head now.
Yeah.
The guy writes fucking hook.
No, he does. Just the fact that I could be like, this is what it should be. And he was like, here you go. Done. And I was like, hey, let's write a musical together. You have... Two weeks.
2 weeks. And I like that was the sing-along version that my brother made for us with the bouncing ball.
Your brothers are amazing.
They are. I think they might be watching, which is great.
Really?
Yeah. I know my brother Danny is a huge fan of Pam Goldberg. So.
Well, I'm a huge fan of your brother Dan.
I know. You remember you were trying to come to Thanksgiving.
I know. Well, we did want to hook up, but ever since the virus, we thought it would be irresponsible. But I have been working out, Dan. Dan, I'm working out, bitch. And let me tell you.
Oh, he's texting right now.
Oh, bitch, gonna break up your home. Gonna break up your home. And if you don't have a home, I'll break it up anyway. And if you don't like that, gonna sleep with your daddy. So make your choice.
I think my dad's watching.
Don't make your choice. Sorry, Mr. Zach.
Danny just said, can you read that?
I love Pam. Marry me, Josh. Fuck yeah. It's official. Mom, Dad, I'm engaged. And he's a brilliant fucking writer. Everybody look up Dan Zach. He is a journalist and one of the best journalists alive, honestly. I mean that. And he writes important fucking shit right now. But writing that was so much fun. And from there, we were like, hey, we actually have something. Mm-hmm. And then we actually got together. I think we took Philip on board, mm-hmm. Who was in the show, and we really decided to write an actual musical parody, yes, but it's more like Murder, She Wrote meets Book of Mormon.
Yeah, absolutely. And we decided to raise money to do our own sort of presentation of it. Not sort of, we did a full-out presentation of it at the Green Room 42. We did, and it was... really, I mean, great and well done and full of people and full of producers, which was great because that's how we met our current producers.
Yeah. The fact that we got picked up at all, and the funniest story. So our producers are the incredible Sherry Wright, Craig Hafner, and Hal Luftig, who are incredible people that care about art, that care about laughter, that care about keeping Broadway, off-Broadway theater alive and rich and going no matter what. Like, these are the real deal kind of people. What's funny is that Craig and Sherry were at that one presentation before Hal came. Mm-hmm. And my mother was there.
Yes, your mother.
And she walked in. My mom doesn't even have that accent. Hi, Mom. I love you. She goes, thank you for saying hello on your show. She doesn't sound like that at all. But, you know, she went up to them and was like, hi, how are you? What are you doing here? And they're like, oh, we're producers. She's like, hello, my son wrote the show. Nice to meet you. Do you have a card? And next thing you know, like, we're in meetings.
Yeah, they took you and I out for coffee, and then they brought us to see the show they were producing on Broadway, Children of a Lesser God.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And they had us do another presentation for Hal, and we've been developing the show with them since then, which has been really fun.
But also, like, you're Angela, you're Jessica Fletcher. Oh, can we bring up Ceased? like, you can't use my name.
What's that?
When we changed
we got a cease and desist from Angela Lansbury's lawyers saying you can't you can't use Angela's name on the show, which I hope that when the show does get a production, we put that cease and desist letter within the program for everyone to see.
Oh, yeah, that's like my opening night gift to people.
Yeah. But so we changed it to Bloody Bloody Jessica Fletcher, which so far we've had no problems with CBS.
Thank you, because it is a parody law. No, but my friends that have worked with Miss Lansbury, Dame Lansbury, are like, oh, she would find this fucking hilarious. I can't wait to take her to this.
Oh, I would love that. That would
get into it. Me too. Right now, let's keep her in a bubble. Let's keep her fucking preserved for
away from everyone.
But the fact that, like, you and I are geeky, geeky dorks, and we got Beth fucking Level to play Jessica Fletcher.
Yeah, that now, was insane.
Keith wrote this incredible song called Qualified, which is Beth's sort of like big, you know, first number.
Her I Am song.
Yeah, it's her I Am song. And she shows up to a crime scene and everybody's like, one person's like, you're a novelist. Like,
why are you here?
I need the police. And she's like, because I wrote a book. It's cool.
Yeah.
And so this is just, we couldn't fit the whole thing because StreamYard, I love you, StreamYard, but you only let us put a certain amount of time up and I can only edit so much. But this is the end. This is just Beth Level being like, I wrote a book. Yes, I wrote a book. I'm Mrs. Potts and Mame, so it's cool. Alan, please play.
Evening of typing and biking and fishing, jogging with a towel around my neck, typing, waving at the tugboat, waving from a porch, firing one of those guns that say bang when you shoot it, searching in the dark with a flashlight, getting startled while trying to open a door, peering through cracks in another door, running through a different door, getting scared by a shadowy figure in the dark stairwell, having my silhouette pushed by another silhouette, typing, typing, smiling, vinyl typing, shuffling a stack of papers and closing the cover of a leather bag. Folder.
Okay, that wasn't quite qualified, Alan, but it's okay. So love you. It's okay. I'm not going to be mean to you today, buddy. Okay, we've been in quarantine a while. But do you have the qualified song too? If you do.
She's amazing.
She's incredible.
She's amazing. And that cast, too. I mean, that was Emily Walton, Leslie
Fucking
Pritzer,
Emily Walton. Fucking Come From Away star.
She's watching as well. She's texting me.
Oh, Emily, hi. Or as I like to, I really want to rewrite Come From Away to Get the Fuck Away, where people are trying to come back to the Rock and, you know, Beulah's like, fuck no.
6 feet.
6 feet, fucker.
And Leslie Kritzer and Randy Blair and Gretchen Wilder.
Just angels. And because I don't care that you already played it, I think it's hilarious the fact that, and this was like, Kevin, this was all you in the book. Alan, can we replay Beth going through the entire fucking opening
sequence
of Murder, She Wrote when she's asked what she did today?
Evening of typing and biking and fishing, jogging with a towel around my neck, typing, waving at the tugboat, waving from a porch, firing one of those guns that say bang when you shoot it, searching in the dark with a flashlight, getting startled while trying to open a door, peering through cracks in another door, running through a different door, getting scared by a shadowy figure in the dark stairwell, having my silhouette pushed by another silhouette, typing, typing, smiling, vinyl typing, shuffling a stack of papers, and closing the cover of a leather-bound folder.
And she just rattles that off.
T-H-E-E-N-T. Literally, kids at home, that was one day that was my biggest
contribution.
Actually, no, fuck you. I contributed a lot that day, and I'm not going to give it away.
You had a lot of zingers that day.
But T-H-E-E-N-D was one of my big contributions. And before we move on to one of my all-time heroes, because I can see that she's in the green room and I don't want her to go away.
I bet she's thrilled that you have a green room because that's an equity rule.
We're talking about Pam Goldberg. But One of my favorite bits in the show is my character, Sheriff Tom Bosley, is constantly misquoting people until he eventually has a song literally misquoting people. Well, misquoting one certain person. And it's always like, just remember like what so-and-so said. And then it's like this horribly like misquoted thing. So as the show goes on,
it gets worse.
The quotes get worse and worse. So like what seems like a real CD joke eventually like grows and grows. Anyway, Alan, do we have those clips? I'd love to share them.
It's really a beautiful place, you know. Eleanor Roosevelt visited Kabikov once and said that you could almost smell the family values wafting on the air. This reminds me of what Joan of Arc once said. Women belong amongst the trees looking for corpses. Remember what Emily Dickinson said? I'm a shut-in. Nobody touch me. Remember... Amelia Earhart said, I'm a lady pilot. Where am I? Remember Helena Keller said, now, to clean like an owl. Ow.
Sing it again, boy.
Now, to clean like an owl. Girl, it gets better.
Oh my God. So wrong, but so funny.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. What's hilarious is that we did press on Seth Rudetsky's show on Sirius, and Beth was sick that day and couldn't sing. And so the only other option was to do the It Gets Better show, the song, which is, you know, remember Helen Keller's head, and then the horrible
noises
that follows it, and it still plays on Sirius all the time. But
that's nuts.
I'm really excited to start developing this further with you. I'm really excited to start blurting out news that we can't blurt out just yet. I'm really excited for you, me, Philip, and Keith to get back to
in the
it.
Room, yeah.
And I'm really excited for when theater starts coming back, and we are fucking coming back, kids, that we are going to be making you laugh. That was a cat. That was a cat knocking something over, saying, hey, bitch, you're ignoring
McCavity.
Me. McCavity is there. Now, Kevin, I'm really jealous because you've known Pam Goldberg. Like, she seems to trust you. She's never agreed to come on my show solo. She only agreed to come on with you.
I consider myself very, very lucky to know Pam and have gotten to know her over a couple of years. I did this interview series with Playbill.com called Journeyman, where they asked me to interview various theater workers, directors, stage managers, choreographers, actors, people who have been consistently in the business, but never achieved any sort of notoriety or anything like that. They just they're like workhorses, journeymen. And I met Pam doing this, and her stories and her life, it's truly incredible. She's a Tony nominee. She won an Obie Award in the early 80s for an incredible one-woman show that ran for over a year off Broadway.
She's on TV.
She's been in commercials. She's just been at it consistently, solidly for many, many years. My introduction does not do her justice.
Okay. Well, Alan, is Pam still with us? Miss Goldberg, sorry.
Pam,
can you hear me?
Can you bring the screen down a little bit, Pam, or stand
Hi,
up?
Pam, could you,
we can see only me? See your eyes. Can you sit up a little bit?
Let me adjust my cushion.
Yeah.
I'm just,
do you have a phone book?
I'm just going to adjust my cushion.
Okay. You are. We see you perfect.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, good. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Pam. It's good
I
to
miss
see you.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Miss Goldberg. Thank
very
you
nice
so
much. Josh.
Thank you. It's really an honor to have you on the show. I've been a fan for a very long time.
So, Pam, where are you? Are you home
it's
in New York?
It's very kind of you. No. I don't know exactly where I am. First of all, I want to say that I'm wearing black because I'm in mourning for my career, as we all are.
Oh.
But I was supposed to have done a production of A Doll's House Part 2 at the Ends of the Earth Dinner Theater. Now, I worked there before, but I don't know where it is. I know the plane lands in Albuquerque, and then a 19-year-old drives me in a van for a good 3 or 4 hours somewhere. I may be in Arizona. I don't know.
So
allowed me to stay in company housing.
Oh, good. So you got there.
So, I mean...
Yeah, and they had a few, you know, sundries in the pantry. They did take a $300 hold on my debit card to make sure I wouldn't damage the property. But a likely story, right, actors?
Pam, I'm assuming the production, it's A Doll's House Part 2, right? It's been canceled, though, for...
The production has been canceled.
But you're still
I'm staying here because as a senior, I don't feel safe going back to live in New York at the moment. So I'm going to stay here in wherever I am. I think it's Arizona, Eastern Arizona.
And I mean, did they allow this? How did you find out? Did your agent call you and say you can still stay in company housing, or?
That's a bit of a sore subject. My agent dropped me. Yes, it can still happen. My agent dropped me 2 months ago.
Oh, my Jasmine. God.
Yes. So they had told her, I hope she's okay. I bear no ill will. It's the business. I hope she's okay. But they had told her that the show was canceled. And I was here and arrived.
Oh, thank God.
My plane ticket sticker. So I got here and someone picked me up and were very apologetic, profusely apologized, and then offered to put me up in the company housing for as long as I wanted to be here because the staff was, in a word, minimal here.
I see.
So I've been here eating things out of cans. I've been, going over my kitchen.
Wait, hold on, Pam. I think we're having some interference.
Hold on 1 second. I think that's me. I'll be right back.
Okay. Be careful.
No, Pam, what are you doing
They were very good. You know, I have several actor friends who are in the same position across the country being housed in company housing, you know, with 7 different wine openers and some questionable olive oil and not much else.
Really? Have you been able to get what you need, utensils?
Yes, there is also an unpaid intern who has been housed here. Her name is Corey, and she's been wonderfully helpful. She drives me to the grocery store and goes in and gets what I need. She's been telling me, she's been checking in on me, which has been nice.
Good. And I'm sure you are a big role model for Corey. Are you able to coach her about what life in the business is like as she's so young?
She's an aspiring actress as well, and I've already taught her 7 monologues.
Oh, what are some of those monologues?
She did, she wanted to do Blanche from Streetcar, and I said, sweetheart, you're too young, okay? So I gave her some William Inge, the little girl in Picnic, and I gave her the little girl, she's a petite thing, so I gave her a lot of monologues of little, though the member of the wedding, you know, little girl
parts.
Monologue.
Good. Oh, hi, Kevin. Welcome back.
Yes, hi. What were you guys chatting about?
We were talking about the intern.
Oh, I was telling you, Kevin, that an intern who's been taking very good care of me named Corey, and she's also an aspiring actress, and I was working with her on her monologues and her diction as well, because sometimes she calls me on the landline here and says, do you want to get a brand new one? And I say, Corey, I don't know what you're saying. Are you asking if I want to go to the grocery store?
So, that's very good of you, Pam. So what have you been doing in quarantine to to keep yourself busy?
Yeah.
Well, I've been going through my repertoire. I've been going to the hospital and standing in the parking lot and reciting sonnets.
What?
That's what I do.
What?
Yeah.
Is when that safe?
And dies, I all alone beweep my outcast state and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries and look upon myself and curse my fate. Those kinds of things are something I can do to help.
But is that safe? I mean, you're to go to the hospitals?
I am observing the social distance. As you can see, I'm wearing my gloves right now, and I'm indoors. I'm not wearing a mask right now because I would like you to see the words I'm making with my mouth. But I would be if I wasn't giving this interview right now.
I appreciate
so
that.
Thank you.
I have been exceedingly careful.
Of course. Oh, are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling terrific.
Good.
Yes.
Well, Pam, that's a very noble thing you're doing. I mean, you're there, and did the essential workers, do they enjoy it? Do they get to hear it? Do you have a megaphone? Like, I missed that. If you had a mega, like, who hears you do these sonnets in this parking lot?
I don't need a megaphone. I have been just barking them out. It's good for vocal production. Sometimes I will teach tongue twisters. Medical professionals also need good diction.
What tongue twisters?
They say a lot of complex, as anyone who's auditioned for New Amsterdam will tell you. There is complex medical jargon that needs to be clearly articulated. I need 44 cc's.
So what tongue twisters do you teach?
Yeah.
Well, I like Give Me the Gift of a Grip Top Sock. Do you two kids know that one? Do they still teach these anymore?
No.
Can you? I will try it.
Okay, I'm going to put my mouth very close to the camera so you can see the articulation going on. Give me the gift of a grip top sock, a clip clip ship ship tip top sock, thank you sweet flick slip jar slap slip sock, but a plastic elastic grip top sock. No, give it a desk, slack swap, slap from a slap dash, flash dash, have it a shop, then a nick, neck, knit, lock, knock, knee, knick, a muck, sock, with a muck, sock, block, trick, tick, tock, a clock, not a muck, dock, puck, up, slop, drop, sock, not a super seer, seer, sock, a puck, a sack, smock, sock, not a spot, spike, a frog, wrinkle, cheap, cheek, sock, up, a hodge, podge, mouse, splotch, podge, cards, blind, nothing, sip, sock, drip, drop, flip, little clip, flop, a dippy, do a dip, drop, rip, drop, drop.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I can get off book for that quickly.
Well, you can, Josh, if you practice.
You could maybe post that tongue twister on your site so actors could keep up with their diction.
Yeah, give it a kip poppy 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 poppy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Pam, you've been in Actors Equity since 1964. Have you ever run into anything like this pandemic? Obviously not a pandemic per se, but anything this dire, this destructive, or this unsure?
Well, I mean, I think actors are very good at uncertainty. You know, I had four jobs lined up. They've all been canceled. I was to work at the Top of the Morning Theater, which specializes in Irish work. Very important Irish work, the Top of the Morning Theater, mm-hmm. That's in Pennsylvania, the Square in the Circle Theater, not the Circle in the Square. They get each other's mail, but it's upstate New York, and you have to take a very specific Metro North to get there. Otherwise, it'll just pass right by that theater. So I was supposed to work at the Square in the Circle, the Coconut Grove in Florida. I was supposed to work there.
Oh, I thought they were out of business.
Yeah, apparently they did. Thanks, COVID. So there was a lot of things I was supposed to do. So to answer your question, once more, I'm in the space of uncertainty and unknowing. But something always comes my way. I almost made it to the streets in the 80s, and then I booked a very successful run of Miracle-Gro commercials.
Oh yeah, and you had this shot like
from
a
the streets.
You shot
from
like
the streets.
11 of those commercials, right?
I'm sorry.
You shot about 11 of them.
11, yes. James Whitmore had done a series of successful ones, and they were looking for a female James Whitmore. So that was
a shoo-in. That was a shoo-in for you.
Story of my life, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes we luck out.
So, Pam, you're in maybe Arizona.
That's sort of
indefinitely.
Well, I'm going to wait. But aren't you where you are indefinitely?
That's true. That's true. But when's the last time you've been out of, do you usually work out of town, correct?
Yes. I've worked an awful lot out of town. I was hoping with this new agent who just dropped me, but that's another story, that I'd work more in the city. But because I am a New Yorker, and I send my love to everyone in the city, and I miss it desperately.
We miss you too. I'm grateful that there are some.
Is unparalleled, among other things.
Yes, but I'm grateful that there are clips on Playbill of you from your Tony-nominated role in.
Yes.
What show is that?
We Met on Tiptoes.
We Met on Tiptoes.
It was
a comedy set in the world of Russian ballet.
And you played Comrade Janice, right?
I played Comrade Janice, who is a stern Soviet gets mistakenly matched with the lead. I had the best part in the show, really. I'm not tooting my own horn
by saying that
it was the.
Were you the only Tony? I know because We Met on Tiptoes ran for 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks. Me and the choreographer got Tony nominations. Both of us lost. Mine was the first award of the evening. And I turned to my friend, Sebastian McMartin, who's a dresser, who was my date for that evening. And then I lost. And I turned to him and I said, can we leave?
Did you?
No, I did not leave. I wanted to stay and support my colleagues, but the show was a long sit.
Who was the choreographer? Did he win?
Sham Hepworth. No, he did not win. He wasn't even there. He was off choreographing another show. He came from the world of ballet. We Met on Tiptoes was set in It was set in the world of Russian ballet, and there was a Cold War aspect to it. So the title, We Met on Tiptoes, not only referred to the ballet, but also,
the
spy aspect.
So it was a Cold War musical comedy. That had to be one of a kind.
Well, there was an adaptation of Nanotchka they tried called Niet Nanotchka that never made it out of New Haven.
I see. So
yeah,
so,
I heard Encores wanted to do that this summer, but it was canceled.
Oh, yeah.
I have urged to do We Met on Tiptoes, and they write me very nice emails back, but no dice.
I see.
So you
There's
were
good things in that score, mostly what I did.
Yeah, I remember the song. It was very catchy.
Yes, Comrade.
So you were about to do a Doll's House Part 2.
I have done 3 times now. That's my bread and butter these days, a Doll's House Part 2. It's a brilliant play, just brilliant.
You play the maid, correct?
That's correct. I can't curse on here, can I? No.
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay. She says the big, fuck you, Nora. That's the big laugh line. Although, strangely, didn't get a laugh in some parts of the country. I don't know why, but
that plays.
You two know this. Certain parts of the country find things funny, and some don't.
Is everything okay? You looked at someone outside.
Yeah, you look nervous.
No, I'm fine. I'm gonna turn a light on because the sun is setting.
Oh, that's right. I forgot your 2 hours.
Do you think she's okay?
I think so. I mean, I've never seen her hair quite this flat.
Yeah.
But
Welcome back.
You look great.
Okay. Is this better? Because I can't see anything.
You can't see us?
No, I can, but you're very small.
Oh.
And you could stand to project a little more. I know you're talking to a microphone, Kevin, but This is becoming a recurring issue with you.
Sorry, yeah. I've got this little thing right here.
We're also younger and used to microphones and amplification. Is that an issue with young people?
You'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Corey went to a drive-through Starbucks and got me an iced latte today, and it was the greatest thing that happened to me. So thank you, Corey. She's watching.
That's great that she's been sort of keeping an eye on you out there. Is anyone 15? My God.
Yeah.
Is anyone in New York reaching out to you, like checking on your house or anything like that? Or anyone from, I know you're from Michigan, Kalamazoo.
I am the surviving member of my family.
Oh.
My representation checks in on me, so this is just an unfortunate moment of timing to be dropped right at this moment. But yes, I've heard from actor colleagues of mine who are reaching out and making sure I'm all right, and I thank them all very much.
I know you're old friends with Mary Stout.
Mary Stout and Vianne Cox.
Oh yeah, Vianne. She's actually my downstairs neighbor in New York.
Oh, how did we not know that?
I should have told you that. Yeah, no, she lives downstairs of me, and she's been there for about 19 years, and we have a ball. She talked about that you guys did a production of Steel Magnolias.
But I don't want to give it away. Yes.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it was.
I told you about the car.
Yeah. She said that it was I forgot, Players Theater in New Jersey, something in New Jersey, and they would commute in the van from New York to the show, and it broke down in the just outside of the Holland Tunnel in New Jersey,
outside the Holland Tunnel.
Yeah, and Vianne was driving. She had volunteered to drive. She was very young. I think she was playing Annelle, she said.
This was Steel Magnolias. Yes, I was Weezer.
Yeah. And she said that the van just kind of slowed to a stop, and you just sprung into action, and you got out of the car, and you pushed the van.
It was pandemonium. The car broke down. It wouldn't move. We were in front of the Holland Tunnel. You all know what that means. Traffic honking, you know, people shouting at you. Well, I got out of the van and pushed it.
You pushed it clear off the highway.
A van.
Yes.
Through the Holland Tunnel.
The show must go on.
Well, we had to get there. Yeah.
And Vianne said that you actually got to the theater.
Say it's a maternal. That's the kind of, you know, mothers lift cars over their toddlers.
And then Vianne said you actually, it was just that she had forgotten to fill the gas and had run out of gas. And
yeah.
She felt so bad. But you guys arrived at the theater. What a flibberty gibbet. How do you solve a problem like Vianne? You guys got to the theater, made it by call.
Don't let her drive.
You made it by the 7:30 half hour, and you made sure that none of the other women in the show sort of got Vianne in trouble. You were just like, it's okay, we made it on time. It was a human mistake.
It was an innocent mistake, and I respect an innocent mistake. I do not respect a deliberate mistake.
No, I mean, you are legendary for sort of being so on it with things, you know.
I've only missed four shows in my career.
I know. That's it.
I'm
22. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think it's important now in the midst of the pandemic that if you have a cold that you stay home?
I think if you're legitimately sick, of course you should stay home. But, you know, if I can walk, crawl, or roll, I'll go on.
Okay, well, that's what makes Pam Goldberg Pam Goldberg, and that's why I am a fan of you and always have been, and I'm so grateful that you came on the show tonight.
I'm so grateful. You're wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Goldberg. That means the world to me. And, you know, as far as your Tony nom, your OB, being a proud equity member since 64, you inspire me. And I hope you start taking some videos of you at a healthy distance at hospitals, encouraging them through theatrical monologues, sonnets.
Yes. I could do a vocal warm-up, you know, maybe just a group primal scream.
Well,
someone may find that helpful.
Perhaps to wind us all down for tonight's episode of Josh Swallow's Broadway, the live stream edition, could you do maybe a vocal warm down, or maybe just sing us off?
I'd be happy to do
A sonnet, whatever you wish.
Okay, so this is when you've come off the stage and you're wanting to cool everything down and not go off tense. So just really kind of massage the throat gently. This looks like I'm being strangled, but these are just because of the pandemic. That's all. So massage the throat gently. Soft circles. And then this up and down. Shoulders. And and then when you go home, you ice your knees. That's always what you should do. I don't care how young you are, so the younger the better. And I'll sing a little bit of my song from We Met on Tiptoes.
Thank you.
To play us out.
Kevin, close your eyes.
There was a fellow back in 42 who I loved, but he had no clue. He never called me comrade. And then another back in 59, who even after a lot of wine, he never called me comrade. And then another came into view and said, comment allez-vous? But you know things that he never ever knew. Da, my comrade. Ya, my comrade. You're my comrade, you.
Thank you so much. Oh, I know I'm going to sleep like a baby. I love you, Miss Goldberg. Kevin, I love you so much. I can't wait to keep going with our show. And gentle listeners at home, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be in touch with our next episode for Saturday at 9 p.m. Thanks for...
Wash your hands, everyone.
Premature cue. All right. Good night.
Bye.
I love you. Josh Swallow's Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dory Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallow's Broadway. Leave a rating. Leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive. And swallow you soon.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.